You guys are going to love this episode with Moose Math. He actually sold real estate to Thatch Nguyen back in the day, and he was really caught up in the rat race, as he says, of being a retail agent, being a top producer, but became an investor in 2010. So you're going to hear practically how he did that first deal. He has a lot of advice that people don't get what they want in life soon enough because they're not really clear with what they want. And when you're clear with what you want, the universe brings opportunities your way.
I've been selling traditional real estate for almost 20 years and investing almost 10 years. And yeah, so it's been, you know, it's when you first get started, you get going. You know, the first one's the hardest one.
What was the, what was the initial investment that you made?
The first one? I actually showed it to, I used to sell all my deals to Thatch and his wife, you know, bring it to them first. And then.
Oh, you mean on the market or wholesale?
Off market.
Oh, so you were doing off market.
So it was, you know, I mean, I get it. I asked the seller if they wanted to sell it off market. And they're like, yeah, if you get us this amount of money. So I showed it to Thatch and Cammie. And then we went and looked at it with my oldest daughter. And then Cammie was like, hey, Moose, if you don't buy it, we'll buy it. And, you know, so when she said that, I was like, shit, well, I got to figure a way to buy this thing. And so we bought it. And ever since then, we still have it today. And ever since then, we just kept going.
Was it a property that needed work, or was
It was exactly like the motto we, you know, that we've been taught. Corner lot as a two bedroom up with one bathroom, with an unfinished basement. And so we finished off the basement, and then we actually do have a Dodge in the back now. And it's been a great rental. And
why is the corner lot important?
There are two alleyways, you know, alleyway going up and alleyway comes in the side, and it's just, you can, you know, maximize on the space on when you have corner lots.
So when you say corner lot, it doesn't need to be a main road, but it can be an alley road as well.
Yeah, definitely not main road. Sometimes we prefer not main road because of the noise.
Yeah.
But this is only a block off the main road. But what was great about it is just the walkability, and it's probably what we probably call a C plus B. I would say it's probably a B neighborhood. Now, you know, it's transitioning, but it's been great.
So you fixed that one up, you rented it out, you built an auxiliary unit in the back.
Yeah.
And the corner lot allowed access to the back unit without having a flagpole, split on the lot.
Without having a flag lot. And it was my very first one, and I just told the architect, I said, just put, you know, build me something big here. And my thought was, okay, I'm going to build, knowing what I know today, and I think we built it a while ago, a couple years back. But no, I don't know. Today I probably built something different. But we built a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath, 1,000-square-foot detached unit with a two-car garage.
Ooh, nice.
Because my thought was, at some point, I'm going to build another unit. You know, it's currently, you know, garage. I was going to do it illegally. But now in Seattle, I can actually do it legally.
Convert the garage to another unit is what you're saying?
Yeah. So that one property will give me, you know, four doors.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you remember what you originally bought that property for?
Paid $415 for it.
All right. And then how much work did you do to the first main unit?
I think we spent about $150,000 on the front house.
Okay. And then what did it appraise for?
I think it appraised then for like $750. I think the value now is probably somewhere around $900, $950.
Nice.
For the front house.
So in 10 years, it's gone from $7 to $9 or $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, we spent about...
Just the front house.
Just the front house.
Yeah, but you got free land that you could divide off and then build something.
Building back.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's so many of those, you know, that's still available. So, you know, we're always on the hunt.
In Seattle, the biggest expense is the land.
Yeah, but the cost of living is expensive there, but yeah, the land, you're right.
So the fact that you can break that off, it sets you so much farther ahead when you're considering that extra property in the back, right?
Yeah.
Because you get free land. You already own the land.
That's the deal. You know, if you buy the front house at the right price and you do well on the front house, you know, the land in the back should be, you know, freebie.
Yeah.
It should be the no-brainer, right? But a lot of people are kind of trying to just buy the house and they're taking a loss in the front house just so they can have the land. And it's not always the best way to go about it. Yeah. So
the way to combat that is get better deals. Make sure you're not buying unless it makes sense for the front house to stand on its own for the burr strategy, for the cash flow.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is a lot of people are just, now they're, you know, a lot more investors out there and they're just trying to buy whatever they can, with sometimes, you know, they're overpaying.
So Thatch and Cammy buying properties gave you the idea to do this. And when you had an off-market deal you were bringing to them, and they're like, well, if you don't buy it, we will. That probably gave you some confidence to know it was a good enough deal if they were willing to buy it at that price, right?
Yeah, for sure. And the other part, you know, really is like, for many, many years, is I always thought, man, you know, I'm working, just, I've always just want the commission. I want just, because I do turn into real estate. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me just get my 3%. Oh, well, you know what? I'll get to double in and make 6%. You know, and I was just being the, I don't want to say typical agent, but typical agent just chasing the commission check versus chasing the, you know, buy and hold long term.
Well, yeah, and you made $150,000 on just the burr of the front house in equity.
Yeah.
By avoiding the commission. And yeah. Then the commission would have been what, $10,000 or something?
Yeah, it was, yeah, 20, let's see, I don't know, it was like 4,000, 400,000, so times three, so I don't know, 12, 44, there, about yeah. 20, 24 grand or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's a pretty good trade.
Yeah, you know, and like anything else, only if I knew what I knew, I would have been doing it a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, and, but the cool thing is at least I got started.
Absolutely. So yeah. When did you do your next deal after that?
I did it. It's crazy. So while I was doing that deal, I was sending, postcards. This was back in 2017, and I've been doing a lot of short sales. And I got a phone call from the seller. He was like, man, you've been mailing me for so long, and I want to give you an opportunity to buy my house first, you know. And it was a total fixer. I didn't have any cash. And so I brought in a partner to buy this house, and we still own it today. And the partner I brought, they're good friends. They put up all the money. What do we pay for this house? For something, I forgot, but we did hard money. We bought it. We converted a 3-bedroom. We had an unfinished basement with a big backyard. And when we got done, because they were super nervous about buying this deal, because they just work traditional W-2 jobs. But by the time we got done and refinanced, we made $180,000 in equity right away after the renovation. And, you know, my partners got all their money back, except for, we each had to put up $500 for the house. So it cost us $1,000 out of pocket for this deal.
Whoa, that's nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, you know, especially for them, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is actually really true. And today we still laugh about it. And we've actually had the same tenants in there the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And were they in there already, or did you select them and put them in there?
Well, it was a referral of somebody we knew.
Yeah.
And after we got done with the renovation and so forth, we just rented this... this family, and they've been there ever since.
Got it.
And so it's been, what, shoot, 6-7 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Since they've been in there, and it's got a huge back lot, and now we're going to figure out to build another, you know, dad in the back.
All right. And where are you at now today total with all of your investment side of things?
I'm on my payoff phase now. So now I just want to just focus on, I'm really cherry picking, you know, what properties I'm buying. And it has to make a lot of sense. And if not, I'll either, you know, I'm trying to work on getting more fixtures, which is great, you know, using you guys' program and looking for more fixtures so I can fix up and then start paying off, you know, my properties.
Why do you want to pay them off?
You know, you can't buy peace of mind, man. You know, you got to have peace of mind. And for a lot of people to keep chasing, and I've been, you know, you are who you hang out with, and I've been, you know, drilled in my head that, you know, you got to buy rentals and hold them versus just doing a lot of flips. So most of my investments have been buy and holds. And now I want to get to a point that I want to pay off versus I can keep leveraging myself. Yes, but the reality is the sooner, you know, I get majority paid off, and the sooner I keep having more peace of mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's priceless. I understand.
Yeah. Yep.
It's pretty gangster to have a portfolio that's all paid off as well.
Well, that's the goal, right? And it's more important than, you know, when you get to, you know, have stuff that you get to just keep spending time, you know, with your family or where go do what you want to go do and you know, getting out of that rat race. So
100%.
Yep.
So do you have a certain date in mind or, you know, a certain goal?
Well, you know, shoot, I am 48 years old. And so My goal, I have an eighth grader, so I got 5 years more of the school. I got two of them in college. So my intention is, you know, 55 has always been my number. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to keep adding more pressure
right
on myself. So, you know, I just said, okay, I'll be for sure done by 60, but really 55 is my number. And the reality too is, like, you know, I was taught that usually your prime earning years are between the age of 35 to 55. So you know, you have the energy, you have the, you still want to do life, right? So then between 55 and 65, you should really be focusing on paying off. And then 65 and on is actually when you make most of your money. So, because it's a compound. So, yeah, but the reality is I'm trying to really, I have energy, I got great health, and I'm just going to keep busting my ass.
Yeah, I absolutely get that.
And we'll knock out.
Yeah, it makes me excited to go after things.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine just retiring, you know. It's nice, well, to have the option, but I just wouldn't,
I think you're always,
picture myself not working.
You're probably always going to work, yeah. You know. But, you know, you're going to work, you know, because you want to versus have to.
Right.
So, and majority of people are stuck on the have to situation. And, you know, I am too right now. So I have to keep working and keep hustling. But there's a plan. And there's a direction. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they are just going without... They're just going and going without really having a clear plan. So,
what do you guys do in the inner circle?
Inner circles, it was interesting because I've been fortunate. I've known Thatch for a very long time.
You were in the inner circle before there was an inner circle.
I was in the inner circle before seeing the Springboard. Thatch
That's
is
what
actually,
I'm saying.
Yeah, Thatch has been, my, you know, pretty much Thatch has mentored me. You know, been my friend, mentor, and all that ever since we started. I started real estate, you know, back in 06, and I was resisting joining Inner Circle because I was like, I can just go ask Thatch whatever I want, and there's going to be a lot of real estate people in there. What I found in Inner Circle, which makes a big difference, is that there are so many people outside of real estate are in the Inner Circle, in like different professions, from doctors to, I can't even tell, I mean, there's just all kinds of people in there. And the connection of knowing other people, we're always, you know, you're examining deals all the time, and it's just another level or layer of staying in the conversation. I think a lot of people, you know, they get to a point they're like, oh, I know what you're talking about, I'm already doing it, and then they're out of the conversation. You know, like an example, I'm going to guess a lot of people say, oh yeah, there's, I know how to go find these deals, but that's great, but if I'm not listening to your program or listening to or always in, you know, using you know the program, you know, the deal machine, using deal machine,
right,
and using freaking, you know, out there using it consistently, you know, it's like, okay, then you're not going to refine what's the best way or how to refine your list, right? And so a lot of times is people are in Springboard, which is great, but then if you really want to accelerate, you know, I've always been a, you know, a learner, and so I do want to keep accelerating what I'm doing,
right?
And that's probably the biggest thing, is I was kind of caught off guard about how much faster I would learn.
Yeah, and when you see people who are doing such good deals, it makes you have a fire lit under your butt as far as what I experience when I go to conferences like this,
yeah.
Right? It's like, you're like, I'm inspired by other people having success, getting out there doing it.
Yeah, I'm inspired, you know, for me, you know, I'm inspired, you know, there's always going to be people above you and making more, you know, that. But I think, you know, everything's based on lifestyle for me. So I'm inspired by what kind of lifestyle I want to live and, you know, the clarity. And, you know, now, you know, when I look at, for myself, I look at, you know, the people who, you know, are being mentored by, or I always ask for help. They're in their late 60s or 70s, and I'm picking out what type of people. And so I'm just, you know, pretty much stealing what kind of lifestyle I want to have when I'm at their age. And that's probably what's more inspiring for me now, because, you know, you're watching people already living that life that I want, you know, that I want to have.
Mm-hmm. But I was also curious, is there anything that I could help you with? Maybe a certain type of data that you're looking for? We do have corner lots coming as a filter soon, so you
can
target those type of things. I always try to listen to people like yourself, mm-hmm, so I can help out in that way. Is there anything else like that that would be really nice that we could provide or go searching?
Corner lots would be awesome. You know, maybe a tab that says alleys, you know? I don't think
like properties that are bond
that,
and alley?
That you know that has alleys, because I don't think you guys have a tab that says alleys or a way to
just
pick alleys.
Specific,
yeah.
You want properties that border an alley directly?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because that'd be easier, because you know, okay, wait, great, you know, because like now you get an address and you got to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're zooming around to see, is there an alley? And what side, if there is an alley, what side of a, you know, part of the lot there's an alley?
Mm-hmm.
unfinished basements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think that's, you know, that's one thing. And yeah, I mean, but man, you guys, I think it's
we do have a basement filter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever used that?
There's a basement filter, but there's not an unfinished basement filter.
Correct. Right? So
but I don't know. I don't
do
know.
Always have to, yeah. Do you always have to get a permit to finish it, or can people put up, you know, their drywall without a permit?
I mean,
because that's the only way we know is if they get permits.
I would say yes for the fact of getting a permit. You know, that's the right way to do it. But you know, there's been many, many examples of people not getting permits.
Right.
And but yeah, I mean, I would say that's just one thing. And you know, it can never be perfect. You know, it's always, you know, you guys are always ongoing. But it's been great. You know, because I love, you know, I actually use Deal Machine app even when I work with traditional clients. You know, in my database, because like you know, I'd go on an appointment and they're like, oh man, I got my neighbor who I can't get a hold of, or you know, I want to talk to him about cutting out my tree, or you know, whatever. And I go, oh, look, I can just pull up your app, put in the address, get their information right away, right, and then give it to the you know my client. And they're like, oh man, that's fabulous, you know. So, but yeah, I think that's you know, I mean, I think you guys do a great job, man.
Thanks. Well, we'll hope to help you out with the basements and look into that as well, yeah. And the alley filter.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you very much for your time, Moose. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
All right.
You're the best.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Deal Machine Real Estate Investing Podcast. Please leave us a review and follow along wherever you're listening to your podcast.